You join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 89. I'm Neil O'Carroll, I'm your host. Now you're probably wondering why I've chosen to urinate while starting the show. I haven't chosen to, it's just a pure coincidence of timing. I just happened to be here urinating when the show began, decided to begin, because of course Into Your Head has a life of its own now. I don't have any control over it. It's a big monster that controls me, and it says, you're starting the show now. I don't care that you're in the middle of a urination session. In fact, use that. Use the urination session as an entertainment feature, and in fact, use the emptying of the washing machine that you're about to do as an entertainment feature as well. And of course, I try to talk back to the monster that is Into Your Head. I tell it, how could you make an entertainment out of taking washing out of a washing machine? And the monster talks back. It says, well, you did in the past. You recorded yourself several episodes ago putting the clothes from the laundry onto the radiators, and you got about 10 minutes of material out of it. And you reply to the monster, of course. You say, sure, that's a repeat if you do that. You can't be doing the same thing over and over and over again. The monster says, oh, I'm not talking about doing it over and over and over again. I'm just talking about doing it for a second time. I mean, you yourself are always telling me that you've had a lot of growth in listenership in the last 30 episodes or so. So most of the people who are listening now won't have heard the previous show in which you did the laundry thing. So it'll be new to them. And it's not like you're tricking them or anything. Because you've brought it up just now in this fake conversation with me, the monster. You've pointed out openly that you've done the laundry thing before, so shouldn't be a problem at all. It's not like you're deceiving the listeners in any way whatsoever. So don't worry about that. You're too honest sometimes. That's what the monster says to me. It says you shouldn't worry about it. It's not being dishonest. It's just reusing stuff. Getting extra value out of the same ideas, and not just throwing them away just because you've used them once. You have to, just because you use it doesn't mean everyone has heard it already. So I usually say back to the monster then, I say, oh, you look a bit like a cat. In fact, you look like my cat Pippi. Why do you look like my cat Pippi? And then the monster says, meow. And then usually I wake up at that point, and usually I need a urination session when I wake up, so I go to the toilet and then I start recording while I'm at the toilet. And that's basically what happened just now. Apart from the whole having just woken up thing, I hadn't just woken up. I had just woken up out of a television watching daze, but I wasn't technically asleep. I was just in a trance in front of the television watching Judge Judy, followed by The Weakest Link, if I remember rightly. Both excellent programmes. Weakest Link, of course, is a BBC television production. The BBC being one of the finest producers of television programmes in the world. You can rely on them to come up with an intellectual show such as The Weakest Link, in which a woman comes on and asks questions and shouts at people, and gets a reputation for asking questions and shouting at people, mainly the shouting at people. She likes to make a feature out of being rude to people. She'll say, you're ugly, and that's the wrong answer. Or else she'll say, you're ugly, and that's the right answer, depending on what kind of answer the contestant gave. Of course, she doesn't know the answers at all. She's got a card in front of her. She says, what's the capital of Ethiopia? And then she looks at the card while the participant is trying to answer the question. You can tell she's reading the card. She's reading the answer off the card. So then, when, as invariably happens, the contestant gives the wrong answer, she can say, no, that's wrong. You're stupid. The correct answer is Addis Ababa. It says here in my head. And then at that point, if the participant has any sense, he or she will say, well, surely you shouldn't be getting the answers out of your head. Surely you should be reading them off that card you've got in your hand. And at that point, Anne Robinson, the presenter, usually says, fuck off, fuck you, cunt. And then the producer, of course, shouts from behind the camera, "That's great, Anne. Can we start the official recording now? Rehearsal was fine. Just now, we're doing the proper recording now, so get out of swearing mode." And Robinson says, "Fuck you, I'm a professional, I've been doing this for years, I know when I have to stop swearing, so you don't have to remind me, I'm not a fucking idiot." And then usually a fight ensues, and then I wake up, so that's basically what happens there. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, he's had a big long urination session now to start the show. He's going to become dehydrated at some point, especially if the show goes on for longer than 20 minutes, which it may well do. I don't know. That's not a prediction. It may or may not do. I don't know. Actually, now that I think of it, it'll probably be a short one because I can't seem to speak today. I don't know how to enunciate my words anymore. Anyway, the point is, to allay your fears over me becoming dehydrated, I'm going to drink some cola. I have a Super Value Nice Price cola. It cost me 30 cents for a 2-litre bottle, which is absolutely fucking fantastic if you ask me. I'm going to pour some into a pint glass now. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking cola is a caffeinated beverage, and caffeine makes you dehydrated. You have to have, if you're replacing your fluids with a caffeinated drink, you'll have to drink more of the caffeinated drink than you would have if you were just drinking water. Well, I'm well aware of that. I'm an expert on nutritional issues. Well, I say an expert. I'm an expert consumer. I don't claim to know as much as a nutritionalist or healthcare professional might know, but I'm an expert compared to other patients. I know more than most about, well, at least about dehydration and caffeination and all that sort of thing. So don't worry your little head about that. I'm going to be fine. I've got plenty of liquid here. I drank some water earlier, actually. Well, in fact, I didn't. That's a lie. But it's a white lie. I'm telling it to in order to reassure you and allay your fears regarding me becoming dehydrated, because I don't want you to have to worry needlessly. And I say needlessly, there may well be something to worry about. There may well be an issue involved, but I don't want you to have to worry about it. So I don't mind if I'm going to sit here dehydrating all evening, as long as you don't have to worry about it. So I don't want you to know. So I'm going to pretend to you that I drank some water earlier. Besides which, this is a cheap supermarket own brand cola, and it's made with more watery than normal colas, and in fact there's less sugar than most, there's less calories than most colas, and I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking that's irrelevant, it's the sodium and the caffeine that matters. Well, fuck you, stop being so negative. It's fine, you won't be happy unless I admit that I'm going to die within the next 2 hours if I don't drink a pint of water after this bottle of cola. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to kowtow to your scaremongering. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be fine. So I'm not going to worry about it. You can worry if you like. I don't care. No, I've decided I don't care about you worrying about yourself. And that's a meaningless sentence. What I meant to say is I've decided that I no longer care about whether I'm worrying you or not with my caffeine consumption. So you're a grown adult, unless of course you're a child, in which case you shouldn't be listening to this. This show is marked as adult material on the iTunes store. Now of course that's just to cover my ass. I don't care who listens. They've been forewarned. If you're a child who's listening to this, then presumably an adult has supervised your choice of podcast listening, and if they haven't, they should be shot. If there's anyone out there who's a child who's listening to this and your parents have not interfered with your choice of podcast listening and told you what you can and can't listen to, then I have a problem with that. That's not to say that I have a problem with you listening, but I have a problem with you listening if your parents have not made a decision as to whether or not you may listen. Because that's appalling. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. I mean, this stuff is full of me swearing. For one thing, and discussing sensitive issues such as urination, Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking urination is really only a sensitive issue to older people who lose control of their bladder. It's not an issue for children. Well, that's not true at all. There are children out there who wet the bed and may be embarrassed or worried or anxious about it. Of course, there's no need to be anxious about that sort of thing. But that's not the point. The point is, this may be worrying some children who are listening, and their parents have allowed them to listen nonetheless, without supervision or without a follow-up discussion within the house about the material that's being discussed. If you're allowing your children to listen to this thing with the urination in it, then you should make sure that after they listen, you ask your child if there's anything they want to talk about in the area of urination, or any other controversial or confusing issues that have been raised during the show. Otherwise, you shouldn't be listening to your child listen at all. It's time to live up to your responsibilities. There we go, as far as I'm concerned. John, yeah, tremendously exciting moment. I'm 10 minutes into the recording session for Into Your Head number 89, and frankly, I'm run out of steam. If nothing else to offer, I just wanted to get one up, so to speak. There hasn't been one up for a few days, and I'm worried I might not get round to making a decent one and putting it up this week, so I just want to put one up and not worry about the quality. I just put one up, and then the next one will be number 90, and that will probably be better. I don't know. So this is just a token show of Into Your Head, a token appearance, just to patronise you, basically. You the loyal listener, you'll probably be thinking there hasn't been a show since around last Friday, and it's nearly Thursday now. Well, it depends on your time zone. In my time zone at the moment as I record this, it's Wednesday evening. But I'm not going to have time to edit this until probably, I don't know, next month. So by the time you hear this, it'll probably be well past Thursday already. So you'll be wondering, where is Into Your Head number 89? Well, I'll tell you where it is. It's on my voice recorder waiting to be edited. I'm busy. I have things to do tomorrow and the next day and tonight. I have television programs that I want to watch tonight. One of them isn't America's Next Top Model, and that's why I have an hour to spare at the moment. I'm not watching America's Next Top Model. Well, that's not completely true. Well, it is completely true, except I can see a reflection of my giant widescreen television in the dining room door from where I'm sitting in the kitchen. And America's Next Top Model is, I'm led to believe, airing on that screen. So technically I can see it from here. But I'm not watching it. I'm not taking it in. There's a difference between watching something and seeing it. I can see it, but I'm not watching it. And I can't see it properly anyway. My sight is crap. The television is 3 miles away from where I'm sitting, because that's how long my house is, roughly. Well, my house is 3 miles long, so, and the television is in the front right corner of the house, and I'm about 6 feet from the back left corner of the house. So we'll say it's 3 miles minus 6 feet. Although actually, it's a diagonal roof, so if the house is 3 miles long from front to back, and I'm in diagonally opposite the television, then it should be more than 3 miles from here to the television. So let's say it's 3.21 miles. Now that's an educated estimate, because I'm educated. I went to school and I went to college. I have a partial college education. I was partially educated in the accountancy, and or is partially educated in some areas relating to, I have a computer qualification of some sort. I can't remember what it is. I have two of them now that I think of it. I did a night course in how to make websites, and then I did a general computer thing to prove that I can use a computer, because no one believes you can use know how to use a computer unless you have a piece of paper saying so, and the piece of paper has to be produced on someone else's computer by someone else. So that's what I have a piece of paper that says Neil O'Carroll has a top grade European computer driving license, but he didn't print this out. This was printed on someone else's computer. If he had printed this out and signed it himself, then that would be cause for suspicion, apparently, because if you're able to print out your own piece of paper out of a computer, apparently that's considered bad, because it's considered that the certificate wasn't provided by an independent source. You made it up yourself. So no, I didn't print out my own computer certificate. Someone else printed it for me. So there you go. It's all above board and genuine. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he's being very defensive about his computer qualification. Well, I am. I am being very defensive. You have to stand up for these things. If you own a trademark, for example, and someone tries to breach the trademark, if you don't fight that legally in the courts, you lose the trademark. That's how it works. So I'm assuming it works the same way for your computer qualifications and other educational achievements. If someone starts going around saying he doesn't know how to use a computer and he's never studied accountancy in any way, not even to the extent that he claims he has, then I have to stand up for myself and say, that's not true, I deny that. Because otherwise, they're allowed to just claim things. Someone can come along and certify that I'm not certified in computers. And if I don't fight that by speaking up against it and saying I denounce his certification of my non-certification as untrue and inaccurate, and I refuse to accept that I don't recognise that person as a certifier of my non-certifiedness, and I officially object to his stance. If I don't do all that and make a stance for myself, then they're allowed to just go ahead and claim that, and everyone will believe them, because they're allowed to. Because if someone makes a claim about something and it goes unchallenged, then why should they be unbelieved if no one is challenging them? If I come along and say, for example, that the Earth is flat and no one challenges me, no one comes along and says, the Earth is not flat, I challenge you, here is my evidence, or here are my theories to the contrary. If no one does that, then it's reasonable for me to expect to be believed and respected in my theories about the Earth being flat, unless someone challenges it with proper evidence. Because otherwise, if we didn't have that system, people could go along making claims about anything and never be believed, regardless of the evidence for or against. You have to make a stance one way or the other, and that's why I'm going down to a Tawai National School tomorrow to cast my vote in the referendum on the Nice Treaty. I'm going to express my opinion, as is my legal right and my responsibility as an Irish citizen. I have a right to vote and a responsibility to vote in the referendum tomorrow. And all I have to do now is find out where the hell a Tawai National Boys School is, because I can't find it on the internet. I can find another school that's has a vaguely similar name, but it's called a model school, and it's a bisexual school. It's got two sexes in it, so that's not a boys' national school, so that can't be the place. And there's another place called, I don't know, St. Lawrence's School, and that doesn't seem to be it either, because it's not called a Tawai National Boys' School. It's called St. Lawrence's School, and St. Lawrence wasn't a boy, as far as I'm aware. Lawrence is a girl's name. And they wouldn't name it after a girl if it was a boys' school. That would be absolutely fucking ridiculous, so it can't be that. Although now that I think of it, I went to a school called St. Lawrence's in a different town. But of course that was a bisex school. Well, it was only bisex up to age 7 or something, and then all the classes from age 7 up to age 12 were girls only. We had to leave at age 7 and go to another school, because of this discrimination. Boys were allowed to stay up until the end of second class, and then after second class they had to go and do third through sixth class in another school. And I believe that's changed now. They're letting the boys stay longer now. But that's because at the time that I was there, a woman was in charge of the school. And if I remember rightly, she changed her name at one point during my stay there. She decided, I'm married now, I'm going to go by my married name, I'm going to take my husband's name. This is a symbol, as far as I'm concerned, of the masculinization of women. As soon as they get married, they want to take on the man's name and get rid of their own girly name. I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Absolutely no sense whatsoever. He's talking about something about women taking on their husband's name, but they don't take on their first name, of course. They take on their surname, which is sexless. Surnames are sexless. So his statement makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And on top of that, he seems to be holding a wet cat. He seems to have just picked up a wet cat off the kitchen counter, not realizing that the cat was wet. The cat appears to have just come in from the rain. And he wouldn't have picked up the wet cat at all if he'd known it was wet, because he doesn't want to get wet. He doesn't want his clothes to get wet. Technically, if his clothes get wet, that doesn't mean that he himself has got wet. It just means his clothes have got wet. In fact, getting the clothes wet has probably prevented him himself from getting wet, because unless the clothes are very permeable, the water isn't going to soak all the way through to his skin, unless he's holding the cat for an extended period, which he's not, because he's already put the cat down. So that's not the case at all. So there you go.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.